Session number 16721, Mr. Edward Gregg, Reel 9.
Mr. Gregg, Reel 9. You were advancing, you say, and you'd reached, you were going towards Mandalay.
That's it.
What happened to you after that? Or when you crossed the river?
First, to get down to where we went through this Cabo Valley, and it was known for mosquitoes with pit boots on. And to save us stopping, there was an African regiment went through before us. And that left us, get your foot down until we got through this valley.
You raced through it, didn't you?
Then.
Did you suffer from the mosquitoes in that area?
Well, they were there, but you had cream and tablets. It was near enough down here when I got another attack, but I wasn't, you know, I had the tablets and stuff and fought it, you know. But eventually we crossed over. Now, the carriers, they had they put 44-gallon drums on, one on the back, and scoops on, and you're into the water.
To help you to float?
To float. Any wagons and that had a section of Bailey Bridge, which they powered over. Then at the other side, when we got to the other side, there's a railway line, and it was a main line from Mandalay down through to Rangoon. And they reckon that the artillery, when they got across, they were moving up to Mandalay, and this train come down, and it was like the last train from Madrid or somewhere like that, you know, and it was with Japs on. The last train from Mandalay, and though that amused, you know, because the road was alongside the line, you know, and where the train went rattling past, and the lad, look at me, he's full of Japs. took them by surprise, you know. You got these occasions where you had to laugh like.
Did they get away, the train of Japs?
Well, the train got away, whether they got farther down or not, I don't know.
How were the tracks of the carriers lasting on this long road advance?
Oh, you carried spare sections, you know. The main thing was track pins that are about that long. Some had a soft head, and when you got a broken one, you know, you just tapped it through. Well, you had a punch with a long stem on, you know, and you knocked the broken one out. And then you knocked the punch out with the new one you put in, and you just kicked it over, or that what they call a master pin. You put a washer on and a split pin through, you know. And
how long might it take you to do that job?
Well, 5 minutes, you got used to, you know. And you carried spares. This, as I say, a section of track, bogey wheels. Every carrier had a spare bogey wheel on. Anything on the front. There's one place we got these supplies, and there's a big tin of cheese, and anybody wanted it, couldn't carry it like, and yeah, give it to me, and I just plunked it on the front. And I says, no, then, if it doesn't get eaten, at least it's stopping any shrapnel out. We had a crude word for that, like, I'm not mentioning it. And we used to go, not 10 farther down, we got stuck at a place. And All we had, the hard biscuits, you know, hard tack. Then the lads, look at that, dog biscuits again. And I says, hey, hang on there. And I got this tin of cheese. And I was fried cheese, you know. Fried the cheese, and the lads were coming. And hey, great, great. There's all sorts of bits of metal and all sorts that had come through the travelling down, like, you know.
What were the food supplies or the food like that you were actually getting during the advance? Was it basic or...?
No. There's one place we were in, Holes, and it was a tomato field. Not like hanging, they grow it, the plants grow up and you're in that hole and you had more tomatoes, we eat tomatoes and these hard biscuits, you know. And you went for your breakfast and you crawled away over and you had Dixie and you'd got a Dixie with tea and another one with fried tomatoes and a packet of hard tack biscuits. Things like this. But you learn to, there's different fruits. You learn to live off, you know.
Living off the land, the area you're going through.
That's right.
Was the Bren gun carried, did it still carry a Bren?
No. Well, there was a carrier platoon which carried brands and stuff like this, but they were mainly for, you know, open flat fighting, you know, raids, things like that. Going through right down to, well, we got down to MacTiller. This one, it was start flattening out where they could use these, but the We mortars, just the mortar rifles, you know, were rifles and stuff like that.
So at this stage in the advance, you were really back with the mortars, weren't you?
That's it. But there's places where you had to go with other regiments, with the carriers on a patrol. You just took your carrier, and the Berkshire, they supplied the lads to get on. Now then, I'd have a Bren in, you know. But when you were back with the mortars, that was there for the mortars, you know.
Were there any native population that you were coming into contact with when you came through? Were they helpful towards you?
Well, on the whole, they were, you know. Like, say, when we hit a village or anything like that, you know, and we got in that village, there's a lot of loose hens running about, you know. Of course, Ned used to go and get a couple and tie the legs, string on their legs and that. And this is where my friend Peter Kell, who's a butcher, and when we stop for the night, we say, right. And Peter used to cut it up and, you know, Sean is his butcher trade and cook it. And we're doing this. Of course, we were lucky with the carriers. When you had a vehicle, every vehicle had its primus, you had a primus stove. Your own, didn't you? You know, and a 4 gallon tin to make the tea and stuff like this, and out there water, they say boil it. Now then the infantry lads, that couldn't carry anything like that, they were on the march, you know, they couldn't carry anything like that, and the lads, water, they got the stomach troubles and all this, you know, dysentery. And this was because of that.
That and the means of boiling the water.
No, we were lucky. And we used to boil everything with tea, boiled.
You mentioned the monsoon there that had come in at some point. Exactly what were the conditions like in a monsoon that you were having to work in and fight in?
Well, it takes the roads, river beds, bone dry. Then all of a sudden, and the road, the main roads go on the riverbed.
Undulating.
And you got the monsoons, and quarter of us in it. In a wagon, the windscreen wipers, they're kind of clear. You've got to stop. You can see. And within a quarter of an hour, them riverbeds, you could see the Queen Mary in them. And about when it stopped, about half an hour after, it all.
And you tried to keep moving during this?
Oh, yes, I. In the bush, the old gas capes, anything to keep you dry. You could never keep dry. Like water, wet grass. You got the elephant grass, you know, stuff like this where the lights had to throw through.
Did you have the feeling now that the morale of the Japanese army had gone?
Oh, yes.
You were really on top.
In fact, when we got down to Mactilla, this is where the second day we got flown out to Calcutta. And we left all our equipment behind, like. And we're at Calcutta, just outside of Calcutta, roughly about 2 or 3 weeks. And then that 2 or 3 weeks, we drew new carriers. We got new carriers, they were Canadian types. Ours, the British ones, had a steering wheel, you know, which locked the trucks and things. But these Canadian ones, they were tillers, you know, sirens on and things like this, you know. And they got fresh mortars and stuff like this. And then we ended up, Calcutta, put one to boats. We were on an old coaster, and we went down and went up the river into Rangoon from the sea.
Do you remember what date this was?
Oh, yeah. That would be 44, about 45.
So you come round to attack Rangoon from the sea?
To come up into Rangoon, about 10 miles up the river, you know. And all the transport and the boat we were was all transport. But there's been guns all over the shop, and going up the river, anything that looks suspicious, it was target practice, you know. And when we got to Rangoon, the first vehicle off was a bulldozer to clear the docks, you know. And this is where the Indian stevedores, you know, the pioneer course, coming and helping you to unload the transport. And this was telling you that you got some lads that were on this to get these lads working, and they used to knock them about, you know, and of course they wouldn't bloody work for them. So, as we used to say, drink that tea, eat that chapatis, get your soul out of the way. Well, a good journey, you would, you know, and you got on well.
Well, the rifle companies, had they gone ashore before the transport when you got to Rangoon? They were ahead of you. And had the landing been opposed?
No. There's an article. It was an RAF pilot. He was on patrol and he was over Rangoon, and about 5-6 miles out was a airstrip, and on this airstrip was a message, the Japs have gone, and he landed, and they told him, and actually took him down to Rangoon, and there wasn't a Jap about, and he come back and radioed in, then would you start jumping in then?
So you arrived at Rangoon, and Rangoon. What did you do in the city?
Well, we stayed overnight. There's a lot of lads. They slept in a bank, and they were playing cards, you know. And Jumpney, he had his occupation money, bills of it in his bank. All the true Burmese money and that, you know, they took that when they invaded. There was these big blocks of money, you know. The lads were playing cards. Go on, I'll put a million on, you know. Wherever you went, the humour was always there, like.
Had there been much destruction by the Japanese in Rangoon?
Well, when we got in, there was a lot of them running about, and I think there were loonies that had been let out of hospitals and things like, you know, looters. But we were there about 2 or 3 days, and we moved out, and, in Picu, there was a bunch of, about a company or something, got Japs. They were still there, causing trouble. And this is where we went up there, and they were surrounded, but they wouldn't give in. Now then, the Japs, authorities come and signed a peace terms, you know, at just up from where we were. And the DLI, we the Dulms, we'd done the guard on this house. And then the Jap officials went up this peculiar area with about healer things, you know, telling them the war was over and all that, but all they got was shots back. So eventually they just petered out that day. Then from there we moved back towards Rangoon, and we will build it in Insein Jail. And we were told it was the second largest jail in the world. And the lads, the Durhams, all the infantry lads, they were all in cells, you know, wooden beds with wooden books for the holler for your neck. And there was Burmese prisoners in, local lads, you know, and you used to see them getting the cane, you know, getting that punishment.
So the Burmese civil authorities were now functioning.
That's it. Uh-huh.
Had you come across any released British Army military personnel from the Japanese as you advanced? Were you rescuing prisoners of war?
Right now, when Singapore, Malaya, when all that was relieved, you know, the railway, in Rangoon was a big hospital, and they brought them lads in to that hospital.
Was that while you were there?
That's right, aye, well. Now, the second day, eventually they settled down, and it was all British day, self-contained. And as I mentioned before, they had this mobile cinema that they used to follow you around, even in the bush, and you could sit either side of it and see the picture, you know, to entertain the lads. Well, they built, there's a big shed place, they sandbagged it out, rows of sandbagged seats, you know. And this was after the war was more or less over there. And we used to go down at Wakarias, was handed in, and I was put on the transport, and we were in a tents just outside this prison. And I had a 3-ton truck, and we used to go down into Rangoon to the hospital and bring the lads up and bring them to watch theatre, cinema, to see a show and take them back.
Did you see what state they were in?
Oh, there was this, when we went in to pick them up, you know, There was an NCO now, like, and we used to go down, get a wagon load of lads that could walk or, you know, just walk. And oh, there's some terrible sights. But there was a lot that were in the bedridden, they were in bed or in a kind of a state. And it sickened you.
It wouldn't endear the Japanese to you.
Pardon?
It wouldn't endear the Japanese to you.
No. And then get back to these Indian national blokes, you know. During the day, we used to have to go to a compound where all these were in, you know. And we used to go down and NCO and, you know, like, we used to go and get 20 and have to take them down into the docks to work in the docks. And they were shifting stuff. You wouldn't ever get in that. And they were, then at the end of the day, you drowned them up to bring them back. And when you come to count them, 20 heads, that 20 heads was 25, sometimes 30. And there were these chiefs that had come in and just, and then you took them back to the compound. So there's extra 10 for you. And you got your laughs.
Were they all right with you? I mean, these were anti-British extreme, weren't they?
Did they
show it when you were doing your escorting and so forth?
Oh, no, no. No, they would have got their tours rattled. Now then, this prison, just outside this prison, there was a big nappy. Now then, there was these dacoits, bandits, you know, that lived in the hills. And they come in and they were raiding the navy. And the women, the English women, like the navy lasses, were going for them. And of course it was the Durhams, we had to go and chase them out. Laugh. But a special pass to get in this. I've still got it in the old table in St. Gilles.
You were there, you said, when the war ended, you were still a Rangoon. Were you now in a more regimental situation? Were you tidied up from the jungle activities and so forth?
When we handed my transport over and all that, well, we're having ear trouble, and it was with the dust, the silver dust, you know, very fine. And we all had to go, and we went into my room, and we got Kaelin poultices on each, you know, and wrapped up. And we all come out like rabbits, you know. And I had them on for 2 or 3 days. Then we went and had my ears arranged, you know, and the noise, you know, the. Then you got the correspondents were coming, and then they were making a film, you know, Veil My Victory. You know.
You got involved in that, did you?
And some of the lads were, you know, like Errol Flynn.
You've mentioned the various disease up to now. That's malaria and dust. What other diseases did you suffer from?
It was the main thing, you know. Lads, they were about, say, 10 stone or more, and they lose weight, they go down about 5-6 stone and a pack of bones, you know. This is, say, flies, and fruit. This is always stuck in my mind. Like, if you buy any fruit, don't buy it if it's been cut up, you know, get it with the skin on, because the flies, they're terrible. They could just pull a certain article down, and it was just, wounded, lads wounded, you know, and within hours the maggots are coming. some of the wounds, they wrapped them with the maggots, which cleaned the wound, you know, when they take them into the garments, isn't it? Water, is it water? But on a whole, like Rangoon, things quietened down. We had Gracie Fields, the 2nd Battalion. They were playing, there was another regiment, and they had won all their matches and that, and the CO was sick of them. They were boasting about them, their CO, like. Anyway, raised this match at Rangoon, and Gracie Fields, she kicked off, you know, but the Durhams walloped this other regiment, and their CO was over the moon. He'd give the Durhams anything, you know. He was sick of his lads just boasting, you know.
Food situation, and had that improved when you got into Rangoon?
Oh, that's it, yes, aye. As I say, we were in tents empty, like outside, just outside of the prison, like, and you used to have to go on the morning, you know, if you're on guard during the night, you know, get a jeep, go on, you come back with a jeep, with a breakfast, you know, the big dixies, and the one full of tea, you're just driving one hand, and that was hanging out of sight, so you didn't spill it, like.
Did you come across any Americans how'd you get on with those?
When we flew from MacTilla to Calcutta, our first day in Calcutta, from the it was about 10 miles outside of Calcutta where we were in this camp, and the passion wagon were past this camp, and it was full of Americans. The infantry, you know, with the spats on. And, hi, Limey, and Geordies, and, you know. Anyway, when we got into Calcutta, there's a big nightclub, Furbo's. And, of course, we went in, and there's these Yankees. Now, in Calcutta itself, there's a big common. And the Yankees had taken it over and had their workshops. They used to bring wagons in the bottom end, strip it down to bits, then rebuild and out of the end, you know. They were all technicians. And in the streets, they used to have tin whistles, and they used to knock hell out each other just for nothing, like, you know. Anyway, we went in this Furbo's, the Geordies, and first time, you know, for months in a. Because there was the American infantry lads who were like us, then there's all these technicians, and these technicians started fighting with their infantry lads. Of course, being good Geordies, we grabbed a few chairs and got mucked in with them, you know. The American MPs were firing the revolvers in the air, you know, and our MPs were saying, "There's a good chair, Geordie, get in." And we put a few of them in hospital. And, of course, the American army lads are crazy, a fellow of bosom powers. And there's one time, the following day, the Royal Scots went in, and wagons would keep coming back. Hey, Royal Scots went into town there. The Yanks is knocking hell out of them. Then the next wagon goes, hey, the Scots have retaliated. They're chasing the Yanks, putting them in hospital and all sorts. And the fancy it was put out of bombs to them while we were there, with Americans. Cafes. We're in this cafe, and when the little cockney fitter cut in, he come off a water bike when he was in the civilian seat, and one leg was a bit short than that. And they called him Condon, but we christened him Wimpy, not Limpy, Wimpy. And we were in this coffee place, you know, and there was a big African with his scars, you know, sitting having his supper, and we were on the table. When you went in where there's Americans, and you sat with the colored Americans, oh, the white, yeah, they were mad, you know.
The white Americans?
The white Americans didn't like you, you know, talking to the colored. And you could bet, as soon as you finished and you went outside, they were waiting for you. And when you went, when we used to go, we used to have sauce bottles and all sorts, you know, to counteract it.